Okay, Sunday night, ladies shir chavos halvavos shar habachina or lachaf beis iyar, and we're in shar habachina parakei, and we're learning. I'm not sure the paragraph that I have it as a paragraph. It starts with the word of tchilas, and his. Can I borrow this for a moment? I know. Utchilas Masheroi Lochia, page 188.
The first full paragraph.
And we'll start from the third or fourth line. What does he say? He says, you know, we don't stop and think, first of all, the very miracle of the fact that we exist rather than not exist. All right, we'll put that aside. You know, there's a lot to talk about. But I'll just say, every once in a while, we should think about that. Only Hashem has to be, by definition. We were created through His will. So we have to be thankful that He had such a will and that we exist. Existence, that we are. There would be nothing to think about if we wouldn't be. Okay, then he... You couldn't even feel bad for yourself. Then I'm always amazed. The Chavis HaVolos was written 1,000 years ago, over 1,000 years ago, and he knew nothing of what we know now, and yet he hits upon like such chashuv and nekudos and debriya, I guess, without knowing how complex it really is. But he was analytical enough, and he had enough Chachmas HaTorah to say, hey, wait, and he did Shar HaBechina. So he says, like, wait a second. So what he talks about in the first, the Perek is, he says, there's a lot to talk about, and I went through 7 areas of wisdom that would reflect Hashem's wisdom and Hashem's running of the world and Hashem's goodness and the complexity, etc., etc. We're going to focus on a person. That's what's closest to us. That's what we can relate to the most, and therefore that's what we should use our powers of Bechina the most in, because we're the most, we feel closest to that. So he says, first of all, the fact that we exist, and then he says, then he puts a lot of emphasis, not well, a lot, if you're used to getting used to the Chavis HaVavos, you'll see that every phrase has such, you could spend a whole class on every phrase, which sometimes we seem to be doing. He says, there's an amazing, the fact that the Bria, the fact that there's a transformation from one type of thing to another is a miracle. From inorganic, and his first point is mitchunas hayasodos el tchunas hatzomeach, from inorganic matter to organic matter. He said, "That's how does it happen? How do you make that leap? You're sitting with soil and sunlight." And chemicals and water, it's all chemicals, it's all inert. And all of a sudden, it comes together and it becomes a tzomeach, it becomes a plant. So we. Now, he says the plant undergoes a transformation, he says, you know, and becomes food. He rather skips a step. Because, which is amazing, which I want to spend a little time on today. We spent time on it last week. He says, but his point in the next sentence is, you know, food. It's amazing. Food is our nutrition. Food is how we live. Food gives us vitamins and minerals and everything we need to grow. Nutrients, all the nutrients. And it's all in the plant. And he's going to soon say that miraculously gets transformed into meat, into a higher level of food. And as a plant, what happens, the animals, you know, we'll see in a second here what plants, every food that we have comes from plants, comes from Yom Shlishi. Even when we eat meat, but the animals are living because they get their nutrients through plants. So everything, life, food, nutrients, things that sustain us, things that give us vitamins, minerals, it all comes from plants. Now, plants are, okay, so there was an amazing leap and transformation from organic to inorganic, from inorganic to organic, but then somehow food, that's like a whole step in itself. Food, something, you have a wheat and there's a kernel there, and when processed properly, that kernel is going to provide you with niacin and iron and, you know, all the things that Wonder Bread does for you. And whether it's tomatoes or oranges or everything, or it becomes meat, which is his next, like, that's utterly amazing that it gets transformed into another type of thing. So I just want to talk about, because again, in Perikei, one of the seven things was examining plant life. But in Perikei, he says, you know, I can't go through all seven things. It's impossible. It would become a science textbook. But he says, so I'm just going to concentrate on a person. But let's do it a little for these few lines, that a plant is like, so first of all, a plant, I don't know if you call it life, a plant is tzomeach, right? We have domain, is inert, inorganic, and then tzomeach. Now Hashem made the bria that tzomeach, that everything that grows needs, it's a system. You get nutrition and you grow. You don't just grow miraculously. You take in something and you break it up into the parts you need, whether it's sugar or starches or protein or niacin or whatever it is. Now, plants ain't going anywhere, right? An animal hunts for food. A person grows food, or he earns money and buys food. Like, that's amazing, amazing, amazing too. So, but a plant also needs food. A plant is the only thing in the Bria, it makes its own food. A plant creates its own food. Now, Hashem had this problem, so to speak. On one hand, it's growing, and on one hand, it's growing, and it's not just growing, but things are being created, like a seed. A seed is like a fetus in a mother, right? It's growing, and it's becoming like a wheat kernel, but it needs food. The plant needs food. How does it grow? How does it? Because that's the system Hashem makes. So a plant is, so okay, it's the only thing in the world. Plants make food. Okay, what are some of the most essential things that people and other animals need to survive? Water, food, oxygen from the air. Just like there are certain essentials to human and animal survival, plants have certain things they need too. The things plant cannot live without are water, carbon dioxide from the air, sunlight, and nutrients from the ground. Plants use these things in a special process called photosynthesis, which allows them to make their own food, which is why they don't need to eat. Because they can't go anywhere. They're not going to work. They're not working 9 to 5. They're not going out hunting. They're not hunting. So it fits into the system. They take in nutrients, and that's miraculously transformed into growth. But they make their own. Like, maybe it's not so bad to be a plant. Like, you make your own food. Women do that also with milk. That's the only other thing. Women produce milk. The body of a woman produces milk. It's also amazing. She eats food, and like a cow eats. Like a cow eats grass, and like, how does that become milk? And Hashem gave that koach to a woman that produces milk. It's amazing. From what? She eats food. How does it become milk? Anyway, plants have, you need chlorophyll. That's what makes them green. That makes the whole photosynthesis possible. The greenness is chlorophyll. That's what is chlorophyll? It's a chemical. I don't know. I guess it's a chemical. And that's what it's green. It makes them green. And that enables the whole photosynthesis process. And humans breathe oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, and plants do the opposite. That's why it's important we don't cut down too many trees. They help us always to have enough oxygen to breathe. They're actually giving oxygen. Through photosynthesis, plants not only feed themselves, and they ultimately feed humans and other animals. When a plant undergoes photosynthesis, it stores light from the sun as potential energy. This energy feeds us and other animals when we eat plants. As we're taking in the energy from the sun that the plant stores, leaves you sunlight to make food for the plant. Okay. Listen how again, Kravtsovova says, wisdom, kindness, and power, and the complexity. Light traveling in a wave has a wavelength, right? It's a measure of the cycles of the wave. Light comes in different wavelengths, which to us looks like different colors of the rainbow. Each color of light has its own unique wavelength. The reason we see a rainbow of different colors is that each wavelength of light is separated from the others when they travel through the droplets of rainwater. How do plants absorb different wavelengths of light? There are two types of chlorophyll, chlorophyll A and chlorophyll B. Each absorbs different wavelengths of light and work together. This is what the Chavis Halvavos pointed out in the beginning of Shara Bechina, that one of the proofs, call it, of Hashem, is that you have different things in the Bria that inexplicably work together. So look at a plant has chlorophyll A and chlorophyll B that work together to give the plant energy to use to make food. Plants need to continuously make the chlorophyll in their leaves in response to light. Okay. Oxygen plants give us. Plants are food, gives us the vitamins and minerals that we need to grow and stay healthy. We eat the roots of plants. Carrots and potatoes. Potatoes are used to make potato chips. How did that get in there? The grain. Many of our drinks are made from plants. Fruits are crushed and squeezed. You know, tea, coffee, herbs, spices add flavor to our foods. Herbs are the leaves of plants, and spices are made from the roots and bark of plants. Plants are used to make medicine. Plants such as cotton are made into fabric. Silkworms, okay, that's a whole nother thing. What is it in Hebrew? Okay, so that's okay, Bachakach, he says, Yeotek. So now we're holding by the plant. And then Yeotek mitchunas hatzomeach al tchunas hamazon, it becomes food. Right, I'm going to read now from Rabbi Victor Miller. Assuming that we appreciate the amazing formation and growth of a plant, we now go to another step. The plant is only a plant, it's not food. Food is also a miracle. There is more wisdom and planning in the food production cycle than in a city full of factories. Let's start with a wheat plant. The wheat plant has roots, stems, leaves, and each one has a different job to do in the formation of the grain of the wheat. All of these components are miracles in themselves. They involve organization and interactivity. Each thing needs a report in itself. The materials in the plant undergo thousands of changes, and then a miraculous substance is produced. Food, something that gives us nutrition and that we could eat. And it's coming from wood. It's coming from inedible material. You know, grass may be food for animals, but it's inedible by people. So that, again, there's an amazing change of state. So you have inorganic to organic. Then he says, it somehow becomes food. Umimenu yeotek el tchunos hazera v'hadom. He's working towards a person. He's not going into any of this. This is like a whole subject of one of the seven things to learn about plants. He wants to get to a person, but how did a person start? Person started from a plant because someone had to eat food. And then that food became the zera. It became the sperm of a man. I mean, the body grows and produces sperm, but it's all because of food. It's all food that does it. And the woman of Avula, whatever, what's it called? What's the word? Ovule of a woman. El tchunas hazera v'hadon. Now remember, this is becoming an animal. This is becoming like a real living thing, which is a whole sea change from just a plant, right? Tzomeach chai, that's a whole category. The substance of a person or an animal is very different from that of a wheat plant, and yet through food, the vegetable materials in the plant become capable of nourishing an animal or a human being. It takes vegetable matter and changes it into animal matter. The difference between an apple and a piece of meat, you need additional chemicals like nitrogen, and a complex process needs to take place. When a pregnant animal eats a seed, its body converts the material of the seed into the flesh of its embryonic baby. The baby animal needs to grow into a larger animal, which will then be consumed by a human being, which is again a different being. Each of these changes are extremely complex. Every human being originates in a seed, a sperm cell from his father, which in turn is fashioned from the food that the father ate, which came from the plant. Either it came from the plant or from the animal that ate the plant. Similarly, the food that his mother ate is converted into an egg cell, which is nourished by the mother's blood. Now, the seed cells contain all the plans, all the blueprints, we know that now as DNA, I guess, that are required to produce a complete human being. And these two blueprints are combined so that they don't interfere with each other. They unite and cooperate so that a living embryo is able to begin accepting the food that the mother will be eating from that point on. She eats bread, drinks water, and even if she doesn't eat any meat at all, over the course of time, that food turns into a living baby within her. That is the miracle that the author wants us to think about. Okay, so that's the words, umimenu yeyotek, it transforms el tchunas hazera v'hadam, the zera of the father, the dam of the mother. Umimenu yeyotek el tchunas hachayim, and it becomes life. V'achak yeyotek mimenu al tchunas ha'odom, a person is more than just an animal, more than just life. V'hu... V'hu chai, which has life, hamadaber, hames, meaning he's mortal. He's called a mace because he's mortal, but he's madaber. Madaber implies thinking. So somehow the transformation is from plant to food is a miracle. The transformation from food into life on the animal level, you know, from is a miracle. Then it becomes it goes into the creation of a person who's a thinking animal, who's a thinking person. You know, talking implies thinking. And thinking is like, how did that happen? Like, where did that come from? An animal doesn't think. So there's miracles all around us. Okay. V'hu holech. He'll talk about this at length as he goes through the parak. He's going to start examining the biology of a person and how amazing it is that he sees and how amazing it is that he hears and how amazing it is that he thinks and that he forgets and that he remembers and that is creative. And a person is like such a different breed than an animal. A person has aspirations. A person has ideals. A person wants to, right, is idealistic and wants to accomplish, and an animal doesn't have any of that. Like, it's a whole another thing. But it's a miracle. These are all miracles. Because where does it come from? It all comes from inorganic material. You have to follow the chain, he says. And each part has millions of productions, millions of, we're not going into it, like millions of things that have to function together and work, and like we casually say the words and they work together to produce this, but that's no small thing. V'achar kach heyotik mino tchudas ha'odom v'hu ha'chai ha'medaber ha'meis, this is mortal, v'hu holech b'shinuyim b'gilgulim. The person himself goes through many changes and transformations. The sibos mischalfos, because things, a person already controls life. He can decide to do things, and so he's like, it's a whole different approach to the bria. The umitzuim masmidim, and there's always links between the different parts of a person, whether it's his brain and his muscles and tendons and, you know, or emotions is a whole miracle in itself. I don't know, do animals have emotions? I don't know. Do they get embarrassed? Monkeys maybe get embarrassed. Everything, like all of these complexities, everything just works together. Just like the whole, he talks about the digestive system. Okay, v'chasher tizbonein. Kachet is bonin b'zeh, the tire, this is again, simen hatova, v'hachochma, v'yecholes b'chlolo. That's what we're looking for. Hashem's goodness, Hashem's wisdom, and Hashem's power, v'yecholes b'chlolo. Beside the fact that Hashem exists, that someone had to plan this, I guess that's nichla and chachma, because chachma is the design, and someone had to plan this. It didn't just happen by itself. It's impossible. These things don't happen by themselves. Histakel v'chashov v'sharoshe chiburo hanira. Now he wants you to think even deeper, because till now he's talking about physical things, but he says a person has a life force, a neshama. Like, where did that come from? And you see a person, like a person is so much more than the sum total of his physical parts. You see a person has a life force within him. A person can be dead. I think, well, let me explain what I mean. What the Chetzalvav is saying, I don't know if you're aware, there's like a whole question of when a person is dead, right? So classical halacha always said the cessation of breathing or the heart beating. And then they came up, and the goyim came up with something called brain death, which really went away from the classical definition of death, which was even by the goyim also. And then there broke out a controversy. The Gedolei Hador, Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Yashiv nowadays, the poskim we look, we'll call it the yeshiva world, we'll call it. Even though they maintain that we're still going to keep the old definition of death. It's very enough for me to with organ donations and things, and also when do you disconnect all the machines, when you allow to. And then other rabbonim came up with that brain death is taka death. That became very controversial. Lamaisa, 2 years ago, even, and I say even because the Makor was always the RCA. Even the RCA put out a 150-page position paper, and they repudiated the idea of brain death. A lot of Rabbonim collaborated on it. Their Rabbonim, the Rabbonim of the RCA. Rabbi Willig was very prominent there. His father, not our Rabbi Willig, his father. Rabbi Jachter, a few like Rabbi J. David Bleich, of course. He was always screaming that it's not. But they put out a position paper. You can download it. It's on the internet somewhere. Like the RCA put out like 150 pages. So there's one Yachid really that keeps screaming. It is. Now I'm going to tell you my opinion.
What did they say?
They said it's not dead. They repudiated the idea of brain death. The RCA, they were always the yeshiva shepoiskin, the class, you know, the people the yeshiva world considers their leaders, the litvisha, the chasidisha, always said it's not, brain death is not death. The RCA was always and many of their rabbonim, but I don't belong to the RCA, I can only tell who they are by their affiliation, right? So they said brain death is, you know, so whether they wanted to fall into step with society, but they wrote a shtick lach Torah, like it was okay. It was a sheet that was repudiated by, say, Rav Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Nissim Karelitz, Rav Moshe. Okay, that's, I don't want to get into that. But Rav David Feinstein certainly repudiates it. But now the RCA also repudiated it 2 years ago. They put out a big, heavy position paper. Okay, this is all water under the bridge. Now I want to get to my point. I think it's a religious question. That's my point. I mean, of course, you still could bring raya from the Gemaras, but the definition of death, life and death, is not a biological. It's not a biological concept. You're not talking about biology. You're talking about metaphysical. Life is metaphysical. We don't know what life is. You can't say life is defined by the Evarim working. That's not necessary. Who said? You can't define life. My point is the definition of life is a metaphysical concept. So my point is halacha has to determine it. You can't say, come on man, he's dead. Doctors are the last ones to decide what death is. That's my point. My point is it has to be this.
How else can we gauge it if we don't go by...
Only Rabbonim. Only Rabbonim can gauge it because it's a metaphysical question. So they can bring Raya's in the Gemara and rise when a person is considered to be dead. My point is it's not a doctor question. It's not a medical question, b'chlal. It should be taken... It's not a medical question. The doctors could tell you if his heart's beating or if his blood is still... You know, if his lungs are working, if the body's still producing cells. The doctors can tell you medical information. But for doctors to determine time of death, my point is it's an absurdity. It's not a medical issue. It's not a medical question. It's only a Torah issue. It's only a metaphysical issue. So a mail that has to be given to Poskim, who will, in the time-honored fashion, will bring Raya's from Gemara's and other places and from Rishonim, etc. My point is it's not up to doctors. Doctors don't know when a person's dead. Death and life is not a medical term. That's all.
And goyim, what are goyim doing?
That's my point. It's absurd. They have a problem, so they should turn to us. What are they going to do? They have a problem. My point is life and maybe since Darwin and since the whole world turned atheistic, so they want to just make life and death into biological questions. So now it's just biological, like a plant's dead when it stops growing. So a person stops growing. I mean, that's an absurd definition. That's exactly my point. The goyim have no way to turn. They don't think of it. They don't realize life is a metaphysical concept. It's a neshama. It's an irrational. It's an intangible force in the human body. That's life. We know it's called a neshama or a nefesh, and there's five neshamas, and a behemoth has a sort of a neshama too.
So death is when the neshama leaves the body, and only religion can like define that moment.
Or yeah.
That's basically. Yeah. And what do they base it on?
I don't know. So that's what I mean. That's why it's ridiculous.
I thought it's the religious point of view, the Jewish point of view is based on the heart.
That's a raya from the Gemara when death takes place. But that's not the definition of death. The definition of death is not the definition of death. The definition of death is a metaphysical definition. Call it the neshama leaving the body. Then you're dead. When we don't see the neshama, so how do we know?
Uh-huh.
So there's rayos from the Gemara, but it's breathing. But you can't go with medical ideas.
They're not looking for when the neshama does anything. They're just saying, does the body work or not work, right? So that's, and when it doesn't work, to a certain degree, they say.
That's my point. There's a life force. So that's what Chaim Tovolos is talking about now in this new paragraph. That another amazing, amazing thing is that Hashem took a certain life force. And that life force, is dependent on my eating, and my drinking, and my there's some connection between my life force. I'll call it. I don't call it a neshama because he's talking scientifically almost. There's some connection between my life force and my physical. But what is that connection? Why should there be a connection? Why should my life force leave my body if I starve myself to death? Why? Because Hashem made it that way. Hashem made that chibur of the neshama to the guf. But that's an amazing miracle. And that's what he's saying in this paragraph. V'chashet izbonen bozeh, everything I said till now, with the whole progression from plant life to an embryo. V'tiras simon hatova, Hashem's tova, v'hachochma, v'hayecholas b'chlolo, histakel v'chashov, I want you to contemplate and think about b'chibur b'sharoshei chiburo hanira, in the most obvious connection that a person has, something's in his body's connection. The most sublime connection is not the connection between the muscles and the tendons and the knee bones connected to the thigh bone and the thigh bones connected to that's kid stuff. The main chibur is Ritzoni Lomar Nafsho Vagufo. Somehow these two things got connected. His life, his nefesh, and his body. If you would examine the organs of a dead person, could be perfectly fine. Why aren't they working? Hello, why aren't they working? Utvoim She'enim Domim. The different things in a person's body which are not the same. I'm not sure what that means. I have to look into it. Chibra maborius ala bigvuraso ukshoram b'chochma. So he put them together in his chochma. V'schaber mehem guf omed. And all these things form a guf omed. V'sached b'mariso. It's like a perfect unit. It all functions together. The arms, the legs, the mind, the body, the soul, the creative process, the thinking process, everything works. The chibur elov etzem ruchni aviri, a spiritual entity, dome le ruchni yos ha'ishim ha'elyonim, like a malach, some sort of spiritual essence. The zeha etzem hu nafsho asher ksharabo, that he somehow tied them, connected them, be'emtsoim ru'uyim, l'shtei haktzavos. They connect. Now there are two extremes in a person. Behem haruach chayim, the life force, the hachom hativi, the body has a natural warmth. I guess that comes from the ruach chayim. The hadom, the blood is said to contain the neshama, the nefesh. The hagidim, and you have tendons, the atzabim, and nerves, the orkim, and blood vessels. So every, and like that contains all the physical and the spiritual. The sum, because I know that you see the Chumash says Adam hu anefesh. So the physical manifestation of a life force in a human being is dam. That's why you drink dam in achai, like it's bar. You're drinking the life force. That's why dam is also to eat. V'som lehem sibos l'shomram u'lehogin aleihem me'apagoyim. They're protected, these things that we don't talk about how does a person produce heat. That'll be next week's assignment. and then there's things that protect. Because this is where the life force is. And now he talks about the things that Hashem made to protect them. So that's Bosar, Atzamos, the skeleton, the skin, the HaMesorim. What's Mesorim? Let's see. Mesorim is muscles. These are protectors of the inner kishkas of a person, which contain the life force. That's an interesting setup. And these are protecting, your skeleton protects your inner organs. You know, the things that I see, well, it seems that the things that are connected to the dam contain this nefesh, Ruach HaChayim, Chom HaTivi, natural warmth, Hadom, Hagidim, Vatsabim, all the things that make the blood flow through the body, the Arkim. So the veins, the blood vessels. And then you have the things, is there such a setup? Is this understood that there's such a... And then you have the parts of the body that are protecting all these things that I just said. And that's your skin, and your bones, and your muscles. Not basar is meat, or skin. Vaseir and your hair. Vatsipornayim and your nails. Vechula moginim umichsim, they all are covering up and protecting. Lahogin aleihem. Your real life is, even in the physical sense, your real life is in your evorim haprimium. And these things are all protectors. Your meat and your bones and your muscles and skin and hair and nails are all moginim umichsim lahogin aleihem apagoyim, so that they shouldn't be injured. They shouldn't, shouldn't be get harmed. Okay, we'll stop here. I have a lot of research to do for next week.
Yeah, just to clarify, what you're saying is that all these signs that the demonic